Greetings, friends and radio listeners. You are tuned to the R.G. Hardy broadcast as we come your way proclaiming, souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? I know you're going to really enjoy the broadcast today as we join God's servant, Brother Hardy, as he brings forth a beautiful message entitled, The Bible Doctrine of Peace. What is peace according to Bible terminology? What is shalom? Oh, it's a beautiful message that I know will speak directly to your heart, will lift you up in spirit, will comfort you. So let's join Brother Hardy, God's servant now, for this beautiful message, The Bible Doctrine of Peace.
So here's a picture. Jesus said a city set on a hill can't be hid. And we're one of his cities. How many say amen? And God has a garrison of soldiers all around us. Peter tells us who the soldiers are. He said, we are they that are kept garrisoned, guarded, the same word in the Greek. We are they that are garrisoned about by the power of God. God's got his power all around us. A few years back, one songwriter came out with a song, Jesus, be a fence all around me. All around the child of God is the active presence of God in activity working for their well-being. And in those days, the cities were made like forts. They were walled. They had gigantic gates, and at sunset they would lock the gates. I think Nineveh, when they dug it out, the walls were so thick that they could race 6 chariots on the top of them in a chariot race. 6 chariots, in other words, a 6-lane highway, that's how thick those walls were. You see, they didn't have bombers and bazookas. So what they would do is go into a walled city and make the thick wall, and they wouldn't be able to break the walls down and make these gigantic gates, and they wouldn't be able to break them down. And at night, they would close those gates. I guess that maybe the better way to understand, instead of the Middle East, is the castles in England. How many say amen? The cities were castles, all walled up, had the big gates. And then there was a garrison of soldiers in there. And if anybody wanted to come in after sunset, they'd have to go through the eye of the needle. Now we can understand that saying where Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a man that trusts in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to trust in God. Now, to the English person, we would think this modern day, a little needle that you can't even get a piece of thread in, especially after you get 50. And your arms get short. You know, when you get around 40, 42, your arms get short. Sure, when you read a paper, you got to do it like this. Or if you want to thread a needle, you do it like this. You get farsighted. Sure. When you get after 40 in the spirit, you got a far sight. You're looking for heaven. You ain't no more looking on the earth. You're looking for that city. You're looking for the return of the Redeemer and the Savior. You're not looking at the earth. Because 40 means test. And after you went through your test in the Lord and passed your test, you're not governed by the senses. You're not looking at the things which are seen. You're governing your life on heavenly things and eternal things. Not natural and right now things. That's the trouble with the natural man. He lives for right now and don't realize about the future, where he'll spend eternity. So at night they'd shut the gates and the soldiers would be all garrisoned there up on the walls. And then they would have the soldier at the eye of the needle. And the eye of a needle was a little opening. If you ever go on a Holy Land trip, they'll show it to you. You'll see doors, and then in the door, down the bottom, will be a little door. And in order for that camel to go through the eye of that needle, that little doorway, they had to take all the load off of him. And then he'd have to get down on all fours, and they would have to push him through that opening. And on the other side, was a soldier there with a sword. And if anything but a camel come through, he lost his head. And I could preach and tell you, if you're going to make it into that city of heaven, you're going to have to strip every weight. You're going to have to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easy besets you. And you're going to have to get down on your knees and press your way in. And on the other side, it's going to be the admitting angel with the book of life. And if your name ain't on the roll, you're not going to get through. And we are to let peace be at the gate of our inner man. And when anything tries to creep in that's contrary to our well-being, when anything tries to creep in, any thought, any insinuation, I don't know how many of God's people are oppressed and obsessed by the devil. You know what obsession is? Obsession is demon possession of the mind. When you're obsessed, the devil has possessed your mind, and all you think about is that thing you're obsessed on. And a lot of God's children, they have failed to let peace be at the guard of the gate of their life. And they've let the devil come in with all of these fearful thoughts. And they're tormented. They're obsessed. And night and day he speaks it. Some of them he'll say, you got cancer. You got tuberculosis. Now, the most fearful thing, you got AIDS. Or your husband don't love you anymore. Or nobody cares. An old obsessing melancholy spirit. Nobody cares for you. That's the biggest lie that was ever hatched out of hell. God so loved you, he gave Jesus. Jesus so loved you, he left his home, his throne, his glory. Being rich, he became poor. He left everything, he became poor. Took on the same robe of flesh. Walked where we have to walk. And the whole time he lived on the earth, though he was a creator, he told that man that wanted to follow him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He had nothing legally that it was his. He had to depend on people like Lazarus and Mary and Martha to take him in. When he died, he had to borrow a rich man's tomb. The only thing that he had was love for mankind. Mercy for mankind. Grace for mankind. Salvation for mankind. Healing for mankind. Deliverance for mankind. All he had to give was shalom. How many say amen? And when he rose on that resurrection day, I won't say morning because he didn't rise in the morning. He rose in the evening about 1 second after 6 p.m. because that's when the Jewish day starts. It don't start like our 12 midnight. Their day starts at 6 p.m. is their new day. And Saturday at 6 p.m. The third day, Jesus rose up out of that tomb. And all his disciples, hiding behind closed doors, their whole life disintegrated. Everything went up for them. Smoke, everything they hoped in, was gone because they thought that the active presence of their Lord and Savior was gone. He was dead, and they were waiting for dark to slip out and run back to Galilee like a dog in defeat with his tail between his legs. But in that dark moment, Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, stood in the midst of his disciples and said, "Shalom, I am here. I am actively present, and my active presence is going to be with you for the well-being and the good of your whole man. Nothing between you and your God. Nothing. No fear. No apprehensions in your mind and in your soul. Healing for your body. Victory for your life. I'll supply all of your needs." And they arose, and I'll tell you what, they went to the highways and the byways of hedges with the Shalom, the active presence of God working actively through them. And they peace to wherever they went. Peace to wherever they went. Peace to the left. Peace to them that are near. Peace to them that are far off. Shalom, my brother. God says, "Shalom, my sister. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm actively at work for your well-being." Oh, give him a good clap offering.
Amen. What a truly uplifting message by my father, Brother Hardy, the Bible doctrine of peace. Actually, the Hebrew term for peace is shalom, and it's much stronger and inclusive than our English peace. It refers not only to the absence of conflicts and trouble, but to wholeness and well-being for the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. God intends for his children to live by this principle and promise of shalom. And Satan will seek to steal our peace, but we have been instructed, we have been commanded to let the peace of God reign and rule in our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are let the peace of God to guard our hearts. And this is a term that refers to a referee or umpire who calls the shots. So when the enemy comes against us, we're to let the peace of God reign and rule and usurp authority over the oppression of Satan. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace, and we are to serve the Lord of peace and the Prince of Peace. This message is available in its entirety on both audio cassette and CD. And when you order the message, The Bible Doctrine of Peace, we will send you the bonus message by Brother Hardy, Grace Sufficient. It's so good to know that regardless of what you're facing in your Christian trials, because we all have trials and temptations come to each and every one of us, but regardless of what our circumstances are, God's grace is sufficient for us. And that's why we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for help in our time of need. For your love gift of at least $10, you can receive the 2 audio cassettes. And for your love gift of at least $15, you can receive the 2 CDs. Please send your love offering and request The Bible Doctrine of Peace and Grace Sufficient. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203.